Yes. My name is Terry. I'm an alcoholic. Hello, everyone. My birthday is November 12th, 1984. I have a sponsor, and I sponsor, and they sponsor, and we're all here together doing this thing. We've circled up. That's pretty much how I look at it. There was a guy that I heard at a meeting just not too long ago, and he talked about really AA is kind of like this relay race. And we're all in this race, and when it's our turn to pass on the baton, we pass it back, and it goes back. And when it comes back around to the front, usually our questions are answered. So being in this room with the history, with the people that I've seen here tonight, people I don't know, people that I'll get to know, people that do service, people I love, three coins and a fountain. It's a penny story, and you'll have to come to Fremont to hear the rest of that one. And that's kind of where it started for me. I got out of treatment. It was my first time. I went to Swarth and I came to Fremont because they said, don't go there. So, you know, I'm going to be the first place I'm going, right? And I've heard people say what they loved about it was that the loudness and the chatter in the room was louder than the voices in their head. And that's kind of what it was. And I remembered when I was in treatment, I was just astounded because I couldn't figure out before I went to treatment what was wrong with me. Why couldn't I quit drinking? I just, no matter what I tried, no matter what I did, all of the stuff it says in chapter 3, none of that worked. And I just thought, God, there must be something really wrong that I can't do this. And when they told me I was an alcoholic and I had a disease, I was like, I'm not crazy. It's something bigger than that. And so I went to Fremont, and then I got back on the boat and went fishing and drank and went to I was in Kodiak, and I went to Fairbanks and drank and OD'd and did all the stuff you do when you think that you're in control with an NA birthday and an AA birthday, and, you know, Quaaludes, take them as prescribed or as needed. So I figured I needed quite a few. Have one and go dance. I was happy for that, right? So, you know, I'll just tell this quick story because I did overdose and my sister was there and she came over from the neighbors and I was laying next to the toilet, blue, not breathing in my swimsuit. And she just called 911 and they said she probably won't make it to the hospital. And my sister, of course, terrified, she fled and went home and never knew for a while what happened, but I did make it and I came to, I guess you would call it, and I had this gown on, and there was all this charcoal all over, and I said, what's happening? And they go, well, you overdosed. And I said, oh, that can't be right. I said, I'm an AA. I just took too many pills. I mean, you know, I know better than that, right? And so it was so interesting, and one of my sponsees came up and kind of got a little haughty and said, well, you'll probably need a sponsor now. So crow is better warm, but you know, it didn't stop there. I remember sitting in a meeting. It was kind of like this room and I was crocheting with sunglasses on, you know, nodding because I was still kind of wasted and the crochet hook kept falling out and I just went home and, you know, that was that for that. But somehow I ended up back here. One day I'll tell the drunk drive through Canada story because that is a trip in itself, but I did make it and I went to treatment. And one of the things that I did was when I got out of treatment, I started secretarying a meeting because I'm one of those people that knows I need to be anchored to something or I'm just going to be all over the place. And I did that. It was actually a CA meeting, Cocaine Anonymous meeting. And, you know, I think cocaine is made for people with too much money was what the general consensus of that group was. And I did a little NA and then I came back to AA because you guys seemed to have a different kind of a grasp that time, you know, and I know they all work now for all the reasons, but one of the things that I love about service, and as you do the steps and you go through the, each one of them has like a principle, and step 12's principle is service. And then the traditions start. And, you know, I thought after doing my first 4-step, that would kind of be the end of all that. And what I really discovered was when I did those steps, you know, I got here, I already believed in God. I didn't trust God, but I believed in God. And the sanity kind of returned when I didn't have to take that drink and not be able to stop. And then the 3rd step and then the 4th step. And what I really found was how I never looked at anything other than your part. You know, it wasn't about resentments. It was about, like this one guy says, it was all the people that owed me apologies. That's what's on this list, right? And so, you know, it's just from there, gradually over the years, and doing those and practicing these principles in all my affairs when I can, not perfectly ever. I know this, thank God. But what it's done is it's allowed me to have a little bit more of a conscious idea about what that means. You know, I did a presentation on the third tradition a little while back. And when I was at this meeting, when Ralph spoke, Ashvi read something out of the service manual about the people that are around the corner and about the child being born today, who's going to be there for them, you know. And I know people in this room do a lot of service, and it just blows my mind because each one of us do it in a different way. My specialty is kind of new people, and the more hopeless, the better God speaks through me, because that's the language of the heart. And, you know, it's this one meeting I go to now. I mean, I'm a Luddite. I have a flip phone. I have a smartphone, but it's not charged. I go to all these meetings all over the world on my telephone. I put it on my shoulder. I put it on speaker. I look out my window and I knit, just like I did at a regular meeting. But I hear things from people all over the world, like, it's not the step. It's or stay on the step, not the staircase. You know, there's just people that I never would have got an opportunity to ever hear telling this story. And they welcomed me. And even though they can't see me, they let me share, they let me talk, they welcome me like we do in Alcoholics Anonymous. You know, if there wasn't new people, I don't know what I would do. I went to one meeting and there were 585 people on this Zoom meeting, and most of them were newcomers, because it showed me that even though we're not meeting like this everywhere because of this last year that we've had, it was like people, after 1 week, people were on Zoom. And everybody was figuring it out together because nobody really knew. I sure as heck didn't know, and I still don't know, and I don't care, basically. But I sure love it, right? And I know who to talk to Google. So, but, you know, it was amazing to me that they're talking, you know, imagine us, or even imagine Bill. This is the thing I think of the most. Here he was in the hotel. At the phone, there's a list of church directories, and he's calling them all. I need to work with somebody. I need to talk to an alcoholic. I need to work with another person. Nobody knew anybody. Nobody even really knew what to say. And then he called one guy, and he got a hold of Henrietta. Henrietta said, yeah, I know a guy, and he hooked him up with Bob. Wouldn't he be amazed to know that there's 585 people from every country around meeting at a meeting? And this thing still goes on no matter what. This is my closest I'll ever get to political anything. We are the only democracy I've ever been actually witnessing, because we're not about money. We're about us. We're about people. We're about steps. We're about traditions. And, you know, I was just thinking to myself, had I known when I was drinking that what it was I was really looking for wasn't going to be at the end of that empty bottle. It wasn't that worm in the tequila. It wasn't the next bottle sitting there, because I remember before I left Fairbanks, there was a bottle of wine sitting on a table empty after a whole night of doing other things. And there was a full bottle of wine. And for some reason, I knew if I drank that bottle or I didn't drink that bottle, it was going to be the same deal. It wasn't going to be enough, because there's these maladies that we hear about in our literature about. There's the allergy, the physical allergy, there's the obsession of the mind. And for me, my spiritual malady is I'm not enough, I need more. It doesn't matter what it is. My, my drug of choice these days is ice cream, you know, and I'm entirely ready to give it up. And I say that, God, I'm entirely ready to give up this ice cream. And I go buy a little pint and eat the whole damn thing. But you know what? There's something that's beautiful. And this was something that Ronnie said. I believe it was when she spoke with Ralph at Magnolia, and she said something that Clancy had told her. He said, if God was doing this on his grace only, none of this stuff would be happening. None of this stuff that we get mad at God for would be happening. But what happened was we're given our own free will, and we get to make a choice. And sometimes that choice will take us here. Sometimes that choice will take us there. And it was just such a beautiful clarity for me, because it isn't like I'm going to pray and say, God, you know, that person's really making me mad. Can you like do something to them and, you know, let them trip in the tub or some doggone thing, right? It's like, no, it's like, what do I need so that I can have compassion to let the sick man be the sick man? You know, and a lot of times I'm the sick man. A lot of times I'm looking out of these eyes going, that person is so selfish, or why don't they do it this way, or what are they talking about? And then when I go home and do my little 10th step, and it's like, so what did I do, or what didn't I do? And it's always about me. Black Dan is who I heard it from at Fremont. And I'd be up there in my head going on, and I'm the hero in some scenario somewhere, God only knows where. And I'd be just drifting, you know, easily. And all of a sudden he'd say, and I'll tell you what the problem is. The problem is you. And he'd bang on the table. And man, I'd come out of that chair like a doggone lightning strike. The problem is me. Are you crazy? If people would just do what I want when I want, I would have no problems, right? But the problem was, even when they didn't do it right, because I couldn't do it right. All of my expectations of you were based on my own personal flaws, you know? And what I've come to know is, this is much bigger than just me being sober. This is about me speaking a language that I didn't know before I got here. It's about love. That's the currency of AA. Outside in the world, it's a little bit different, but here, you could be angry at somebody and be unhappy with somebody. And what I've learned today is I don't go tell 10 people that they're such a whatever they are. I just do the sick man's prayer and think, and when I can be loving and kind, then I'll talk to that person. Because if I'm not, I'm not going to make an amends. I'm going expecting a person to give me an apology. It's not going to ever happen like that. And I think Austria's going to give me a 5-minute warning just when I'm somewhere near, because I have no idea where the clock is. And I guess it doesn't matter. Oh, okay. So when I think of this, it's so heartwarming for me, because me being a teenager, I was rebellious. I was a little bit opinionated and self-centered and very, very, very defended. I was basically looking for the next person to trigger me so I could have an anger outburst and I could flee wherever I was fleeing from to get a drink or whatever. And my mom, the first time I drank, it was amazing, because I had come home drunk, and my stepdad was an alcoholic also, so this was not a new thing for her, but I came home and I had been sick and I was miserable. And the next day she got me up early, like 6 o'clock. She said, I want you downstairs scrubbing the walls. And I'm thinking, Mom, I'm sick. I can't do that. She says, well, you will. And to this day, actually, I don't drink hard liquor. I can't even stand the smell. It's like, forget it. But here's this woman. In fact, Austrey and Shelley and Maureen and Leslie had come to Ketchikan while I was there for 3 years because my mother had Alzheimer's. And that whole experience was one of the most amazing experiences ever. They met my mom, and Maureen, I think my mom thought was my cousin. So she was like very, very, and I don't know the whole story, but it was, for me, it was big, right? And so I'm sitting next to Austria at this little, it was actually at the Pioneers building. And there was a picture there of my grandmother and my mother and my aunt as Pioneers of Alaska on this little thing. And we're having our meeting there, and I'm feeling all of that. And I got this phone call after I ate this beautiful medium rare steak and potato. And it was the Pioneer home. And they said my mom had gone to the emergency, and would I meet them there? And I looked over and I said, Austria, I have to leave. And I was thinking how much this program has done for me, because I didn't get mad. I thought, you know, thank you, God, that I got to eat first, because I know it's going to be a long night. And so my mom had Alzheimer's, and so I was there, and I know her. And what ended up happening to me through her and the experience is mind-boggling, because basically what happened was I gave to her everything I wanted her to give to me. And when she passed, I was free. And when I think of her, and I do a lot, I want to call her, I want to go get that Norwegian sweater, I want to ask her, how did you make that recipe again? And, you know, I never would have thought that that would have been just one of the many things that I've been given in this program. we were reading step 12 out of the table of contents in the 12 and 12. And you know, they put stuff in that book at night. I don't know if you know that. They do it while you're sleeping and want to see if you catch it. And I'm reading along and it says, the magnificent reality. Oh, I like that. That's kind of what we're living today, right? Is this not the magnificent reality? Everything I ever wanted out of that bottle, I never got. But I walk in this room and I see you. I see you. I don't know a lot of people, and we're all getting old, so we got gray hair. I may know you. I don't know. But what I love about this deal is we've got this one moment. I don't have to worry about what's going to happen. We were on the road for 2 hours, I just want to say. And we had a great time. I got to read him a novel out of my head that I kind of remembered. We talked about trivia. We just watched people slamming on their brakes and screeching their tires. And we were just sitting there going, God's got this. We know whatever happens here, it's going to be okay, because that's what it is. You don't say, well, who put the shit on the fan? You just turn it off, right? It's kind of like it doesn't matter. And, you know, I have to say, for me during this COVID, I went from the outside into the inside. And I made a really, really beautiful relationship with my higher power, because there wasn't anything else that I could use to make myself feel better. It was about that daily meditation. It was about when I do the third step prayer, I go, what are my difficulties? You know, really, what are my difficulties? What can I in my mind say my difficulties are? Well, one, of course, is procrastination and judgment and expectations. And then I go, what are my bondages of self? How does my self-centeredness translate into my relationships? And this year, I had to take a good hard look at myself, because for me, you may not know this, but I'm a talker, okay? And I listened on Zoom and they couldn't see me and I didn't know who was going to do what when, so I just listened. But I've got four notebooks of people's sayings and then my response. If I was going to share, what would I have said? And you know what it was? It was an incredible year for me. I'm lucky because nobody in my family, I have cousins that are sick with COVID and one of them didn't make it, but it's not my husband, my mother. I'm not in a condo in Florida. I mean, you know, there's a lot of stuff that I could go, well, poor me. But when you really look around at the world, what is this magnificent reality that we're a part of? I woke up in a good bed with a good mattress and a fan, and I had good coffee. And, you know, I didn't get here exactly when I thought I would be here, but I got here exactly when I was supposed to be here. And look at here. Here we are. Everybody in this room, I've got like a little piece of you in my brick in here, my tapestry. It's like none of this did I do by myself. It's kind of like, I don't even know how to explain it, but what I can tell you is that I don't think anybody in here is worried about taking a drink today. Maybe in 20 minutes we might be, because life is life. But we never have to take another drink ever. And we get to pass that on, our experience, strength, and hope, not quote by quote out of the book, our experience, strength, and hope spoken through the language of the heart. And here we are. So God bless and keep you. Thank you.